the lottery.
Okay.
I had a wonderful childhood, and all my family, I hit the lottery.
We're just getting started here.
Okay.
We're going to be talking to Adelaide Lincoln. My name is Gina Cressy. David Crowfoot is with me. Today is Friday, September, help me out,
7th,
2012. And we're sitting at the dining room table in Adelaide Lincoln's cottage. And Adelaide, for future generations, tell us where this cottage is for someone who doesn't know. Where is
it? It's on the North Shore.
Okay.
On Broadway. 54 Broadway.
54 Broadway, okay.
Right.
And why don't you start by telling us how your family first came to Bayside?
My grandmother bought this in 1893. Okay. Her brother owned the house that's now the Garrity's. Okay. We have no idea. Excuse me, because nobody ever asked questions. We have no idea how Uncle Charlie got here. But anyway, he was there, and he said to his sister, my grandmother, when she was a widow, and she had two daughters. My mother was 12, my aunt was 10. Why don't you come down to Bayside and buy the house next door? So she did. 1893. And so then my mother grew up here, mm-hmm. I grew up here, my children grew up here, my grandchildren grew up here, and now I have two great-granddaughters. They're the sixth generation. In Bayside, we are the longest-running same family in the same house.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
It's something to be proud of, my goodness.
Well, this is where we go home. Sure. I grew up in Boston. You can't go home to Boston. Mm.
This is home.
Turnpike's going through my living room, as a matter of fact. And I had the best of both worlds. Mother and I were right in Boston all winter and here all summer. What more could you ask?
It's still the best.
When does summer start?
Today school ended. Everybody would be packed. They'd get off the bus. Go to the bathroom, get in the car, and here we were. And the day before school started, we would pack up here and leave. We always stayed to the nth degree, which I do now. I'm hoping to stay till the end of September. I don't freeze. But we love it. It's like your heart and soul is here.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm being buried at the little cemetery up here.
See,
right,
Gina. We're going to be together for eternity.
We never had the picnic.
It's not too late. We're still on the
other side. You're going to have a picnic before.
I was still living, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I think
so,
that's a great idea.
Yeah, wonderful. You might be invited, David.
We used to say, first one there, make us.
Will it be temperance, or we wouldn't be allowed to?
Oh, no. We just buried my sister-in-law at home, and we drank wine at her grave.
There you go. So,
that was very apropos for her. She was 93. And lived a wonderful life, but anyway.
Yes.
So, Magdalena and Lane were first.
Yeah, yes, absolutely so. And Martha Block's mom is there.
Block's mom. Mm-hmm. And Fred's very good. You know, Fred, he goes up and cleans up the grave and puts flowers there and everything.
Want to talk about what Fred's role in your family has been?
Fred's role is, he is like the primary person in this family. Excuse me. Everybody loves him.
Mm-hmm.
His sisters all love him. Of course, I adore him. He has done more for us than anyone could ever imagine.
I saw him yesterday carrying a dresser out of Claudia's house with somebody.
He is just, he's a wonderful person.
He is.
He's a very wonderful person. Fortunately, he has a very good job and can now support this house because I can't support it anymore.
Good thing.
No, I spent all my mother's money bringing up the children.
Of course.
So.
But you did a fine job. Money well spent.
Yes.
I'd say.
And we live... Well, what more could you have than this? You were rich if you came here,
mm-hmm.
You know. As long as we could eat.
Still, too.
You know, it's just, we weren't extravagant, but we had a good... Mara said to me the other day, she said, I had a wonderful childhood. And I said to her, you did? She said, yes. I said, well, that's nice. And my sister said, and she was there, she said, well, I had a wonderful childhood. I said, well, isn't that nice? Because we had some havoc. And I thought, isn't that wonderful?
And, you know, being a single mom, I think, is the hardest job on the earth.
But sometimes it's easier.
And in some ways, sometimes it's easier.
If you don't have
to. Had we stayed together, it would have been difficult. But,
right. But you did such a good job of it.
Meredith was six.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred was only 10.
Mm-hmm.
So he started working when he was 14 at home. He worked in a restaurant when he was 14 years old. And everybody else, when they got in high school, they had little jobs. And of course, they worked here.
What did they
many of them, many of them worked at Cobb's Lobster Farm.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way to share sports.
And of course, you know, Meredith babysat for the World and Bayside. And she was saying the other day, she said, I babysat for three people at once, Maya being one of them, Maya Robinson. So everybody did their little help, bought their own clothes for school and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And what about chores around the cottage? Who did what, or was it just...
Well, no, the girls all had to clean. Mm-hmm. And at home, they did the same thing. Fridays was cleaning day. They came home from school, and we cleaned the house, you know.
Yep. What about cooking in the cottage?
Pardon me?
What about cooking in
cooking?
The
cottage? I cooked just enough to keep us all alive. I was brought up in very plain food. My mother was English descent, and it was meat, potato, vegetables, and fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like to this day. I do not like spices and herbs and gourmand things, you know. So... No, we, you know, somebody said to me once, well, you never cooked. I said, I brought up eight kids, of course I cooked.
Of course you did. How about lobsters? Did people cook lobsters in your kitchen?
We used to, but it's been forbidden. It is forbidden now.
You lay down
me and Fred.
Okay.
Because it smells up the whole house, and sometimes people get callousness all over the stove, and it's a mess.
Sure,
so
yeah.
You go and you, you order lobster cooked and bring it home and have a fine old time.
I agree, that is.
So when everybody comes up for their vacation, and of course we have to have lobster when we have vacation. There's a picture in there of out in the, we call that the cafe out in the corner. Well, we always have lobster. But, you know, my friend Betty Chittick, she loves lobster all the time. I've had two this year. That's enough.
Mm-hmm. Want to tell us about your childhood friends and who's still around that
what
you
a wonderful had. Childhood here. There were loads and loads of young people.
Yeah.
Plus, they had the sailing school. So we had dances Tuesday and Friday, every Tuesday Friday at the community hall.
At the community.
And Gordon's mother, Eleanor Fuller, and Mrs. Hook played the records. And we had more fun. You know, today the kids would be like, what?
This was at night.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Tuesdays and Fridays.
Okay.
And we had more fun. And so some of us went out with the counselors, so we got to do everything that people were paying money to go to the camp. So we had a wonderful time. And of course, my cousin Bob was here too with his mother. And so I did a lot of sailing and all that kind of thing. Fortunately, mother didn't know anything about sailing or anything, so she had no concept of when I came in the middle of a thunder and lightning storm, you know, with Mary and Eaton standing on the dock going, oh my God, you know.
What were you sailing in those days?
Steve and I were in a Dark Harbor 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, she had a couple of those, like my cousin Bob did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had a lot of fun. And the campers never got fed enough, but they never told
what,
their parents.
Peanut butter and milk?
They ate all over Bayside. Because, and of course they never went home and told their parents because they wanted to come back again. Which they did. Some of them came several summers, you know. So, we had a lot of fun. We really did. It was a lot. And my children had a lot of fun. Fred always says he thinks, well, we don't know it now, but Fred says, I think we were the last generation that really had fun.
Unlimited fun.
But, you know, just, not that they were innocent, but it wasn't like today. you know, they did pranks and stuff, but they didn't, you know, injure or break something. I mean, it was just stupid little stuff, you know, like toilet paper in the dark and stuff like that.
Just innocent little stuff.
So who were the kids?
Oh, well, today there's about 10 or 12 of us left. There's Joe Huntoon.
Okay.
And me.
Okay.
And then Jeanette
Tarda.
Tarda.
Mm-hmm. And she was a hook, right?
Yeah, she was a hook. And Ellie Lagner.
Mm-hmm.
And because she went with Dick when Dick was a counselor.
Right.
And of course, Joanne. Joanne and Jim. And Joanne was exactly the way she is today.
Right.
Just as a teenager, just exactly.
Joanne Crawford.
Yeah, just exactly the same way. And then, of course, there was Ralph.
Mm-hmm. Same last names.
Robinson.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm probably leaving people out. Yeah, Susie was younger, though. And when you're young or a teenager, 2 or 3 or 4 years is like a chasm, like huge. And then, let me see, because Bob and Jean Witherell.
Mm-hmm. Bob and Jean Witherell. What was her maiden name? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Isn't that terrible?
But her parents came, and she had two sisters. Jean had two sisters, and they were kind of latecomers, one of them. Well, no, we didn't come in the 1800s.
That's right.
They didn't come till 1905.
Right. From away. But, no, and then Bob and Jean started to go together, and both they got married. And I'm probably leaving somebody out, but there's not too many of us left, really.
And Marion Eaton, was that her name?
Oh, God, yeah.
Was she? No,
she
was
had
she?
No insurance.
That was her.
No
insurance. This is the one who ran the
sailing
school. Yes.
School,
yes. No insurance. Nobody wore life jackets.
It
was like, and nobody flies in ever. In retrospect, it's like, oh.
And the boats leaked?
Well, they stayed afloat. But, I mean, it was, everybody was having so much fun that nobody complained.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know.
They didn't want it to
happen. You know, when you're a teenager, you're not going to complain about minor things like holes in the boat. But it was, we had a really wonderful time, we really did. And my children had a wonderful time also. There was a big group of kids.
And they keep in touch with their friends too, I see.
Yes, and the thing that is, of course in those days it was the mother didn't work, and the mother came and spent the summer.
Correct.
But that isn't, that's no longer the case.
Mm-hmm.
So you see somebody's here for 2 or 3 weeks at the most. Which
right.
is kind of too bad.
Yes, it is. Now, you were a kid during World War II, right? You were a young kid. Any thoughts about how it was different then?
No, it wasn't different here.
It wasn't.
It really
okay.
wasn't different here. But I also, I worked at the post office.
Here? In Belfast?
No, in Bayside.
In Bayside. Was that at the Blair Agents?
Yes, and we had 2 deliveries a day.
Yes.
And I would be lying. We all, before we knew the sun wasn't good for you, we would be laying on the dock, you know, like this.
Getting cooked with your red hair.
Cooked. And I was lucky my mother wouldn't let me go down until after lunch.
Yeah, you were.
And other people went like from morning till night. I don't know where they are now. But anyway, we'd be lying there, and I'd see the mail truck come down, you know, down the hill, and I'd get up and run up to the post office and sort the mail. And this was, as I say, this twice-a-day mail, can you believe it?
I can't. Well, so did that.
And I worked for Mrs. Tibbetts. The Tibbetts owned the store.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for Mrs. Tibbetts.
Was the post office sort of a social center?
Yes, it certainly was, because people met there twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they didn't have it anymore, people really missed it,
okay.
because you saw everybody, you know? And that's when people wrote letters,
of course,
and actually communicated somehow or other more than they do now, but I'm not in technology at all, I'm proud of it.
Now, could you, for example, old Bayside postcards that so many of us collect, could you buy them right at the post office then?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably, you know, of course that post office was always there. The one in
Belfast one, sure.
But this, can you imagine 2 twice-a-day mail delivery?
It's astonishing. And the post.
And Saturday also.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Now, was that same place, now the Blair Agency, also an ice cream parlor at some point.
Oh, they had a little store. It was a store.
Oh,
yes. I mean, you actually could buy things.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a store. And Terry Samway, at one point in time when my children were young, he worked there, and Claudia used to call him the bubblegum boy. But, no, it was like Rover's Corners years ago, and that doesn't, well, I suppose it exists somewhere, but I don't know where.
Now, during the war, there was rationing, and so...
Yes, there was. Anything was more god-awful than the bag of something or other with an orange spot in it that you mix butter.
Margarine.
Oh, what a nightmare. But we were, there was just my mother and I, so we didn't feel, you know.
Were there trucks that came to Bayside in that era selling food? I know that was part of
it. No, there'd be a little man running, you know, driving around selling fish.
Fish, okay.
Or somebody would drive around selling, selling berries, you know, blueberries or raspberries or whatever like that.
Okay.
And when I was a child, we had a man that came with ice.
Wow. For your ice box.
For the ice box. You know, big chunks of ice,
ice.
And I think it was Mr. McGaskill.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought the ice and he also collected the garbage.
Multitasking.
Yeah, Mr. McGaskill, we always thought. And people would run down behind the ice truck, you know, and he'd give me little pieces of ice, you know. So
people, when gas was being rationed, certainly people weren't running into Belfast two times a day to get out of the store.
No. I mean, we got here and it was like, this is the way you were.
Yeah.
You know, mother would go out grocery shopping probably once a week, and that would be it.
All right.
And if you wanted anything in the way of clothing or anything, you brought it with you, because you didn't go up to the store and buy anything, you know, really. So we did get shoes at the oldest store.
Good.
Whatever.
So did it feel kind of like you were away from everything?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
And we still feel that way.
Sure.
Well, it is a bit like being out on an island almost.
Well, you come here, and it's like the world is away. You know, it really is, and it's all right in here, also what you make of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when my children come up here, we just entertain ourselves here.
Sure.
And Allison and Jeff made that nice deck that we had before you couldn't have a deck. And we just enjoy here, you know, we really do. And there's always room for one more. People say, where do you put everything?
It works.
But there's always room.
Yeah.
When people say to me, oh, there isn't room, or there isn't room in a car, I just go. I came up here with 8 kids and a dog and a cat.
That's amazing.
You know?
You did.
Yeah. But I lived right in Boston, you know.
Yeah.
Mother and I lived in a hotel.
Like
Eloise. So, yeah.
Which hotel in Boston?
I was Eloise. It was the Hotel Canterbury, which was right in Kenmore Square. When Kenmore Square was residential, now it's like real honky-tonk, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
BU was just, you know, taken over.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of pizzas and whatever, but it was strictly... And the Hotel Braymore and the Hotel Kenmore. Now, the Hotel Kenmore is the new, I forget the name of the new upper scale, supposedly, hotel now. But when I was a child, the Red Sox, the visiting team would come and stay at the Kenmore. Of course, we'd go tripping around the corner and
check out all the ballfires.
Sit in the lobby and see who we could see.
Did you ever see
Ted Williams was playing when I was in high school.
Wow. Any famous people ever come to Bayside in your memory?
Yes, indeed. Arthur Fiedler came over here
to
Cousin Julie's because her husband was first violinist in the symphony. James Cagney supposedly came when the Shays owned where the Eldridges are.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Moores, the Reaches, Mary Moore's father was in the theater business. So they had, like, opera singers and actresses, but I don't know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Spencer Tracy over in Searsport.
Yeah.
Yes. Mother and I were out to dinner, And he and his wife were in the restaurant. It was called the Down East Restaurant years ago. And, you know, I learned being a vet, you see people that are famous, you don't dash up to them, but they always know if you know who they are. So he knew, I was like 16, and he knew I knew who he was, and he was facing me. And so then when they got up to leave, he walked by and gave me a big smile. Let me see. I saw Dick Haymes. You probably don't know.
Remember the name, but I don't know.
Dick Haymes was a singer in the musicals and movies and stuff. He was right up here at the Bayside store one day. I mean, the Bayside restaurant.
Wow.
I went in to get something. And he was sitting at the counter, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I smiled, and he smiled, and that was about it, you know. I've seen a lot of famous people being in Boston, but I don't...
Not so many in Boston.
My latest one was David McCullough down at the waterfront.
That's good. We don't want to forget Mel Gibson. The summer of Mel Gibson.
As it turns out, we do. Yes, we do. We want to forget him.
We do.
That was too bad. No, because when he was... I spoke to him
like
personally.
Nice
when he came back to do the... your house and everything, you know, like after
the... In the autumn.
Season. Yes, in the autumn. I was standing down by, I still call it Mrs. Lulie Crapon's cottage, where the Conovers were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's still Lulie Crapon's to me. She was like a grandmother. She made me lobster Newburg every fall before I went home.
Nice.
She was sweet by.
Nice.
And anyway, she, I was standing there, and they were like over here, and I thought, okay, here I am. I said, Mr. Gibson, and he came over. He hardly was any taller than I was at the time.
Huh.
I'd shrunk, but, you know. And I said, I just want to commend you on, you know, how well you did the whole production. I said, your crew reflected you because he was decent then.
Mm-hmm. He was. So
and he said, he said, thank you very much.
Yes.
And then...
Later we find
I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
Kind of went over the rails.
He went somewhere, poor soul.
Yeah. No, explain to us how you were related to Bob Leonard.
My mother
and
Bob's mother were first cousins.
Okay.
Bob's grandfather was Uncle Charlie.
Okay.
My grandmother and Bob's grandfather were brother and sister.
Got it.
Yeah.
So because he didn't have a family of his own, he kind of became part of your family.
Oh, yeah, we were very close. Yeah, we always said we were kissing cousins, Bob and I.
Yeah.
And because I was adopted, when he retired, it was very difficult for him to retire. You know, when you've been in the Navy and you've been saluted constantly for many years, it's hard to come out of that. And he had a very hard time. I know he alienated people.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath, he was a very sweet person.
I got to know him.
I know you did, yes. He had a problem. It was like, he was at Pensacola. He was the top, the top person that graduated, you know, the one that received the sword and all that stuff. But in those days, they worked hard all day. They flew and everything. They went to the officers' quarters and drank like fish.
Yeah.
Because it was probably 50 cents for a drink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Fred, my son now, deals with a lot of retired, you know, and people in his job, and he said, we all work all day, and then they come on, let's go down in the bar.
Sure.
I mean, it's a way of life for them. You wonder how anything ever succeeded. But, no, Bob was a sweetheart. He had a problem, but, you know, whatever.
So, when we look around your cottage and see, I'm thinking about modern conveniences that we take for granted now that we didn't used to have.
A lot of things here were here when my grandmother was here. I've tried to keep...
The furniture.
I've tried to keep things. This came down on the Boston boat.
So we're talking about the table
that
we're sitting at. You know what it's made of? It's gorgeous.
I have no idea.
Okay. Came down on the Boston boat.
It's like Auntie Rosa would tell you it was a mistake that Sis and Fred did the top. See, underneath the dark wood,
No, I agree that it was...
You know what I mean? But I think I love it.
I
did. And I just always said, talk about if cottages could cock, if this table could cock, you know? But a lot of things, those rocking chairs, they're 100 years. They were here. Can you imagine today a rocking chair lasting No. Of course, you know, it was only 2 or 3 months out of the year, but still.
Right.
But those things wouldn't last today.
They're in pristine condition.
You know, they wouldn't last today. And we haven't had anything junk of them either.
No.
That's great.
I mean, of course, we've had the covers and
sure.
done, but, you know.
And what else do you see when you look around here that's been here for a long time?
The pictures are like, what are they? But they were there, so that's where they are now. Somebody said the other day, oh, were those cats of your grandmother's? I said, I couldn't tell you. They were,
that's a Bill Eldridge picture, the young boy.
Yeah, the hot boy in the straw hat. That's me way up there. I say I keep it up there so the mice won't come around. Yeah, Tina.
Oh,
that's me.
Adorable.
Yeah. But, you know, there's just, this stuff is right. The things here that, like, David Hurley did that picture, David.
Yes. Very nice.
But, and the lady next door painted that base.
Mm-hmm.
She went to the Hazleton School of Art.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Didn't she? Wasn't she fabulous? I'm telling you.
Yeah. What about the books? What about the old
those
books?
Have been there since forever.
Wow.
Yeah. But those are the female, aunt and mother's books. In the corner over there, we have the Joseph Lincoln and those kind of books over there. And it's funny how ironic, Joseph Lincoln books and I married a Lincoln.
It is.
So,
pure
no,
sense.
There's a lot, there's tables, things have been here forever.
Does your radio still work?
No, that was my mother-in-law's, actually. And somehow, rather, God knows how I got it.
It's an old one.
But it doesn't work, but there it is.
Yeah.
And the table came with it, so that's perfect. It was the perfect spot for it, so that works. That's
and it would have been oil lamps. I mean, there's...
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, no electricity.
Well, when you were a kid, there was electricity.
Oh, yes.
But not a refrigerator. It was an ice barn.
An ice barn.
Okay.
Apparently, when Cove built the mansion, he brought telephone down and electric power down.
But let me tell you, nobody in Bayside had a phone when I was a kid.
No.
Nobody.
We went
down to the post office. There was a payphone on the, and some of the things that people overheard on the phone were hysterical. We still laugh about them. But,
can you tell us some, without giving any names away, can you tell us any stories?
When a mother called up her husband and said, so-and-so has had several beers. We wondered what he was going to do about it. But whatever. But all kinds of funny little things like that. But no, when I got a phone was when my husband and I split up and my uncle decided I should have a phone.
Okay. Okay.
So that's when we got a phone. That was 1970.
Do you have memories of the camp meeting or was it pretty much all gone by then?
No. And I'll tell you, not to sound snobbish, but you know, from here up, nobody was involved with Bayside. My mother never came to Bayside. It was always she came to Northport.
To the North, and it was the North Shore.
Yes, but she came to Northport.
Northport.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
Bayside meant something. If you said
yeah, it was you know, basically, as you know, it was a Methodist camp ground thing and all like that. But I was not allowed to walk to the post office till I was 10.
Really?
And the Collets, Janet Collets' parents owned the house where the whatever their names are, they and somebody or other on the corner, across from the,
and
Mr. Collins says, does your mother know you're walking down here by yourself?
Wow.
I remember that, so funny.
And what did parents fear could befall a young child in the
Well, I don't know. I think it was the idea that we lived in Boston.
Yeah.
And she couldn't let me out of her sight on the street, so it took her, you know, a while to think that I was able to walk to the post office by myself.
There are still parents who come here, renters from cities.
Yeah,
they
don't know. They have no idea.
They panic.
No, they have no idea. They have no idea.
You, as an only child, your mother probably wanted to know where you were most of the time.
This is, I always said, I say to everybody, do not have one child. Because it's very difficult on the child and very difficult on the parent. And my mother was a single parent, which made it even worse.
Yes.
I felt like I had light shining on me.
Yes.
And I said, I will never have one child. And I had eight.
So, when your children were of all of these various ages, they went where they would?
Yeah, this was it. As Fred says, when we came up here, he said, Mom, we'll see you Labor Day.
That's
but there were rules. They had to tell me where they were going when they left the house, and they had curfews.
Yeah.
They had to be home at X amount of time.
That's
my
right.
son, I never gave a curfew to.
Oh.
Because he was so self-disciplined himself, and he was the only boy, and I didn't want him to feel confined within all of the females. So, but he was very disciplined himself.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, he was never up to 3 a.m. Although now I hear people would be like, oh, we're going to sleep on the porch. Well,
that old line.
They'd be off somewhere else. Elkie said to Meredith once when she's in a boat at 2 o'clock in the morning down by the dock, does your mother know you're here? Meredith went, yes.
She sent me here.
She told me to come and go around. You know, but I mean, that's what people did, you know. We're going to so-and-so's house, and the other person's going to somebody else's house. And
oldest game in the world.
They're having a blast, but they weren't terrible kids, you know. They were good kids. They had fun. Fred said to me one day, I thought you knew what we were doing, and you just wanted us to have a good time.
You know, kids do the same thing here that they do everything else. And let's face it, that does include having a beer when you're not old enough, or maybe even
way out in the woods.
But the fact is, they're not driving. They're walking around and
sneaking
up to the golf course and doing it.
Yeah, in my day, there were a few of the boys that would go way up somewhere and have a few beers. They probably had one or something and thought that was, whatever. But this house, you know, you're looking out there, this house used to be parallel with this house, my house.
And they moved it back.
Why? Well, take a look.
The bank is falling.
Oh,
they'd
be over the banking.
That's it.
My son just spent a fortune to have a wall put in up here, up top here.
Okay.
Because it rose from the top, not from the bottom. You know, where the seawall is and the deck. I worked at Allison Jeff's seawall course.
Beautiful.
The deck and everything.
Beautiful.
So did the kids have anything like your twice a week dances?
No, not really. They would try to have things down at the yacht club. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people in the beginning would come, but then it got so, I don't know.
That was a more unstructured era.
Different.
And now it's back, but there are more things and more organized things now.
No, they had dances when my kids were younger, but it kind of phased out when, I don't know, when people became more sophisticated.
Who were the good dancers?
Oh, I'm telling you, Jeanette went with Dryden Dutch. They were the best dancers.
Really?
Oh, they do jitterbugging and stuff. They were terrific. I'm telling you. But the older people, you know, some of the mothers would go up and sit and watch, and people would be like, you know. And they'd say, you're not even dancing. But, you know, it was just, we had a lot of fun. And everybody, those were the days when people went with somebody. You know, and everybody went steady with somebody and whatever.
Were they summer romances?
Basically, summer romances. Ellie and Dick were about the only ones, I think, that actually ended up together.
Mm-hmm.
The Witherals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that's quite a few, actually.
But they weren't going together here. They didn't get together. So, I mean, we're all friends. Joe and I go back to when we could walk, but they got together more when she was in New York and Joe was in New York or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody was friends, but people did kind of go with somebody. In fact, the guy I used to go with, his wife passed away, and he came back about whenever it was.
Steve. I remember Steve. Yes.
And we had fun, we had a good time. And then one day, I said something about James Taylor, and he said to me, who's James Taylor? And I thought, whoa! Now I know why I broke up with him. But, no, I mean, it wasn't anything. I had told him from day one, I do not want to get married again, you know?
Yeah.
And I meant it. I didn't. So, but we had some fun.
We had some good times.
But that was about it.
Did people keep in touch with one another in the winter? Did people write letters?
Yeah, people would write letters. Okay. Yes. Yes, people wrote letters when people actually wrote letters.
Because now, I can see, for example, Fred, your son Fred, mm-hmm. and Lindsay Huntoon keeping in touch.
Lindsay and Dan don't live that far away from and Fred both live in Arlington.
But it turns out that in those days it was penny post and at most 3 cents a letter to send a letter.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But now it's free to be on.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I have letters that my grandmother wrote. People aren't going to have anything like that to look and see.
They're not. Do you have any things you've heard about what her childhood was like from letters? Well, she wasn't here, though, was she?
My mother and my aunt were.
Your mother and your aunt were.
And they made a lot of friends and have a lot of friends. In fact, my mother's fiancé came from here.
Hmm.
And he died in the flu epidemic.
Wow.
So 1918, 1919?
Yep. And wow. So that was that.
So she never married?
No. So you know what I mean? That's what happened to people.
Yes.
Somebody's husband died or somebody. They never looked at another
that
man. She took her engagement ring, put it in the vault.
Wow.
And stayed there until Merrick got a divorce. And I had promised her when she got a divorce, I'd give her my mother's engagement ring.
Good one, Adelaide.
So she came to the house the day. Fred happened to be there. We had champagne. We drank champagne. And Fred said to me, Mom, didn't you promise Merrick you were going to give her that ring? And I said, oh, yeah. I went upstairs and gave it. It's a beautiful ring because it was never, it stayed in the vault. You know, the old mine cotton and everything.
Sure.
So Merrick has that.
And does your family have any customs that you do in Bayside? Didn't you tell me once that, for example, when you drive over the line into Maine, everybody goes yelling?
Oh, yeah. Everybody yells and hollers and screams. And, of course, we all laugh because we used to make sandwiches, and my mother-in-law would make them when the kids were little. And we'd be backing out of the driveway, driving down the street, and Sis would be, open the sandwiches! We'd be like 2 minutes away from the house. So now the other day we were...
Are we in Maine yet?
Yeah. The other day we were having something. Sis says, it's time for the sandwiches! The kids were as ecstatic as I used to be coming here, you know.
Sure.
And my grandson, their son Adam, was just here for a whole week.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So what's different when you're walking around or driving around? Would you say it's pretty much
the same? I don't know
so
many people. You know, you can walk down the street and not know who people are, and sometimes you say hello and they look at you as if you're not right. Hello, hi, and they're kind of like, who are you?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, sometimes you go places, my group, and people hardly speak to you. It's weird.
So it just doesn't seem as open.
Well, there aren't as many of us left. We're like the last of the Mohegans, so
right,
you know.
Well, the whole thing of you spent a whole summer here and you knew your neighbors, and that went on for a long time.
Right, a long time.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, when I go down to something at the Yacht Club, rightly so, the younger generation has taken over the Yacht thing, and very rightly so now.
Yeah.
But there aren't that many of us left.
You feel like kind of invisible.
And I feel like maybe two or three people might say hello.
Right.
And they certainly know who I am.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's like Junior and... Junior and Fred, Junior said you were my first friend here.
Who was Junior?
Junior Allen.
He's still calling him Junior.
George Allen, I do too.
But
it on record.
Yeah, he said Fred was your first friend here. And they used to have like sleepovers with kids. Junior's sister, Janelle, she was a character. I think they were 14, and she said, would you like a daiquiri? And of course they're 14 and they're like, sure.
How about a cigarette to go with it?
Yeah. No, it's just, you know, if you're looking back, compared to some of the things that go on today, I don't mean necessarily here, it was all very innocent. But people had a wonderful time.
They referred to Park Row variously as Paradise Row and Rum Row.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any reason to call it Rum Row?
I have no idea. I didn't know anybody. Well, I didn't really. I didn't know people there on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew Sally Wilson. Of course, I knew Peg.
Yeah.
Actually, Peg and Janet grew up best friends. You know.
Yeah.
They were exactly 10 years older than I.
Peg and Janet. Yes.
And I'm so happy to see Teddy back at the house. I'm so happy. So happy.
I'm glad.
And he has a lovely wife.
Good.
Yeah. So that's good.
Talk a little bit about Betty Chittick. I know she was a good
Betty grew up here also. Her father used to own the inn.
Okay.
Yeah, her mother.
Her maiden name was?
Stoll.
Stoll. Betty Stoll. And her parents owned
the inn? Her parents owned the inn. And for occasions, like when the Masons would come for their parades and things, Mrs. Stoll would cook. She was a fabulous cook.
Okay.
And Betty was a fabulous cook. She was a gourmet cook.
Mm-hmm.
And when Betty was alone, she was still making herself 3-course meals, and I'd be having a dish of cereal or something, you know. But Betty and I knew each other from the time she was 16.
Okay.
Yep, she was 16.
Okay.
And at that time, you kind of you knew everybody. You might have hung around with a different little group, but you knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Betty and I, we both got married and had children, and when Betty and I got back together, really a lot was when she moved back to Merrithew Square.
Mm-hmm.
And then she and Chick split up, and so that kind of brings you together when you both go along and Chick, you know, the whole bit. So she was a very nice person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember before Dad, she didn't have much money, and she rented a house, and people in Bayside had a great hoorah about it.
Oh,
she's renting a room, it's terrible.
Oh,
no.
I love it. So sad. Everything is true.
Those Methodists.
Yes,
I don't know.
When you were a child, was there a cop? Was there a lifeguard?
There was a lifeguard for my children, not when I was there.
Not when I was
and no police. Wasn't police? No, no police. But there were a lot of people around.
Mm-hmm.
There was always people sailing and people in boats and like John Short and Terry Foxville, they came from Bangor, so we didn't have that far to travel, so we were here a lot.
Okay.
And they'd be sailing, and there were a lot more boats, but not as much actual sailing during the week.
Sure.
During the week. So, you know, and a lot of the men had retired, and so they were here all week.
Yes.
And the dock was always crowded.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose if somebody was drowning, somebody would have saved them.
It was the summer. It was mobbed this summer.
Was it really?
More crowded this summer, people were saying that it's been in years.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The bathing attire.
Yes.
I always say my mother came back, she'd think, hey! Catch on TV! I said, if my mother came back and never saw the things on TV, she'd think.
So did you wear a nice, modest Catalina one piece?
I was not allowed to wear a two-piece bathing suit. I had to wear one-piece bathing suit.
There you are.
That's just a few years ago, when Mary's the only one that ever got me in the water. When she's here, she gets me in the water. That is so hysterical. It's so funny, me getting in the water, because the rocks are slippery.
Yes, they are.
And I broke my back about 5 years ago, and I'm so afraid of falling. So we do the rest of that team. I am so afraid of falling, because I don't want to break my back again. I was that lucky.
You should look at your neck. You're fine. You're just fine.
But I used to have very strong legs, and they're not as strong as they used to be, so I'm going back to physical therapy when I go home.
Good for you. Okay, so we're sitting at the table, and we're looking at this beautiful book that Adelaide's daughter, Adelaide, also known as Sis, put together for her for her 80th birthday. And it closes with just a beautiful piece called Memories of the Cottage, and we're going to take turns reading it. Okay, it's not very long, but it's very meaningful. Do you want to start?
Sure. Each of us have wonderful memories of Bayside that will last a lifetime and beyond. The blessing of coming to the cottage each summer is more than anyone will ever know. When we think of summer, we think of the cottage. Memories of growing up and the fun we had are deep in our hearts. With each new summer, we add to those memories.
No one can ever take away what this family means to each of us. It is because of you, Mom, that we know what family means. Love, commitment, and being there for each other. We love you because you love us.
You mean the world to each and every one of your children. I'm going to cry. Your children, grandchildren, extended family, and friends.
Will you make your call?
Wonderful. You have a wonderful
family.
Isn't that
lovely? Isn't that lovely?
Yes. It's lovely.
I am so fortunate that I have, and everybody loves each other.
Yes.
And they all love me, and it's just, it's wonderful.
You can't ask for better than that, can you?
And nobody, this sounds bizarre, not that people might not get provoked with somebody.
Of course.
But nobody ever has a face-to-face argument. Can you believe that? You know, somebody, I'm the hub, of course, so I hear, why your phones don't do that? Because I'm the hub, you know.
So it all goes through you, and do you calm people down?
I'm the peacemaker. But never even vulnerable.
Yes.
We're very fortunate.
Yes.
Yes.
You are.
Yes, we are.
And so how many grandchildren now?
I have 12 grandchildren, and my youngest is 20 years old.
And they've all been to this,
Oh, yes.
Everybody's been here.
And I shall show you my little great granddaughter.
Oh, goody.
Ella was here this spring.
Okay.